everyone, and welcome back to Season 1, a podcast where two best friends watch, review, and recommend TV shows that only aired for a single season. My name is Presley.
And my name is Andrew.
Welcome back, everyone. Sorry for the delay. That one's on me, guys and gals. This show was harder to find than I anticipated.
Yeah.
Being a British show on Channel 4, we had to VPN, pretend to be in the UK in order to be able to watch it. And my VPN wasn't working. So I apologize to all of y'all who are waiting on bated breath for everything that was happening. But now we're here to discuss it. Andrew, how you been?
Mixed.
Okay, that about sums it up for Andrew.
I gotta say, it was nice to pretend I was a UK citizen for a little while, considering things of late.
Yeah, it's been a challenging week for us in the U.S. here.
Yeah, unfortunately, then after turning off the VPN and I walked out of my office, I was still here. So
yeah,
it's a shame. Yeah, interesting.
They have their own problems over there.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely not absolved of any problems. So, but yeah, it's been okay. Just kind of same old, preparing for the holidays. We have my girlfriend's mom staying with us here.
Ooh, exciting.
In the other room. So she's going to be here through Thanksgiving. So it's nice to have her here. And yeah, that's pretty much it. What about you?
Also frantically cleaning to prepare for my family's arrival for Thanksgiving. They're coming for the first time in 5 years, which is I'm excited about. I'm happy to host. It had been a tradition for a number of years while I was at college to host them for Thanksgiving. So fun to kind of go back to that tradition. Yeah. And that's about it for me. I don't think I'm going to be able to get all my cleaning that I need to do done and also edit the podcast, but I definitely want to wish all of our listeners a very happy Thanksgiving if you indeed participate in Thanksgiving and or live in the U.S. or whatever.
Indeed.
Or indeed. It wasn't Canadian Thanksgiving like a month ago?
It's in like early October. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, happy early belated earlier Thanksgiving, Canadians.
Yeah, if we have any Canadian fans, happy belated Thanksgiving.
Yes, precisely. But, Andrew, we got to bring it up before we get into the synopsis. Our standard, why the fuck isn't there opening sequences of television shows anymore? And I think it might be a missing puzzle piece to the whole canceled after a single season thing.
It's the only reason shows are canceled these days.
The last I think the last five shows we've done have not had intros of any kind.
It's true. It's true.
And it bugs me. It upsets me. I don't need anything crazy intricate, but like even 20 seconds, like is that too much to ask for?
Literally, just give me a little bite. Just a teeny little baby
bite.
Give
me the names of the actors and the executive producers and the directors and some good music. I don't know.
And then just pretend no one else exists in the whole production. It's okay. Like, just give us something.
Well, you can do that the end credits. That's fine. But, like, no, I don't know. It's just, like, I've found since we started talking about this, I never, ever skip intros anymore, ever.
I don't either.
Like, I barely did it to begin with, and now I refuse to, on principle.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Because it's, like, we're not getting, there's a finite amount that are
I have a limited number
to
of
continue,
views.
You know? Yeah.
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 So we have no intro fun music to play like our tradition would have, or anything exciting to offer. So I guess we'll just talk about the show.
Yeah. I'll go into our fairly lengthy yet incredibly truncated, synopsis here.
Yeah. I'm going to take a quick nap. I'll see you in 10 minutes.
Take a quick nap and we'll circle back tomorrow to finish the episode.
Yeah. Perfect.
Just as a forewarning, this series does cover, elements of sexual assault. So for anybody who, it's not heavy, it's not the entire show, but there are elements of it. There are story elements to it. So I just want to say for anyone who, may not want to continue this episode for that reason, this is your time to do it. Again, we're not going to drone on it. We're not going to hammer on it, but it is an element of the show. So I want to give, full space for anyone who does not want to participate to see us next episode.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. That being said, let's get into it. Oh, here we go.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah. The Gathering is a Channel 4 original series that takes place leading up to an attack of Kelly Deacon, played by Eva Morgan, at an illegal beach rave in Merseyside in Liverpool. Kelly is a high schooler who is a talented gymnast in a special training program. Her and her friend Jessica, played by Sadie Soverall, were very good friends, but their desire for a spot in the world tournament drives them apart, only made worse by Jessica's mother, an overly obsessed and manipulative woman. Kelly's friend Adam introduces her to a new guy in their four running group, which is basically parkour, but Britishized. Kelly's friend Adam introduces her to a new guy in their foreigner group named Bazzi, and Kelly introduces Adam to Jessica. Kelly, Adam, Bazzi, and their foreigner group run away from the police in the city after the police go, hey, you're not supposed to be here, and they chase them out.
They're on, like, the roof of some random building.
On the roof of some municipal building or something. So Kelly and Bazzi specifically run away together because everybody kind of splits into different directions and decide that they want to spend time together at a later time. Kelly's father deals with some legal trouble regarding a fight that broke out at a soccer game with Charlie's father, Julian. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Julian is hellbent on putting Paul in prison while Paul states he was not the aggressor in their scuffle. Adam and Jessica, after being introduced to each other, start exchanging texts and including intimate photos and videos and end up having a relationship where they hook up and so on and so forth. Adam and his friends spend a lot of time partying in clubs where they do party drugs to enhance their experience. Adam also DJs at some of these clubs and is later asked by his father, Lewis, to DJ at a party at their home, a barbecue. During the party, Adam's father and his friend are upstairs doing cocaine when name, what's her name? I could not find this girl's name.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't matter.
So it's going to be really complicated. During the party, Adam's father and his friend are upstairs doing cocaine when Adam's stepmother's friend's daughter crashes their party and insists that she won't leave without getting a bump. His friend, Lewis's friend, gives her a hit, and then she leaves, only to be seen by Kelly, who went upstairs looking for Adam or someone. It doesn't really matter.
She's going to
Kelly, Kelly was going to the bathroom. She saw Lewis and his friend giving her cocaine. She did a bump, etc. At the party, or so Jessica comes to the party and ends up being drugged and in the hospital. The doctor at the hospital the next morning tells Jessica and her mother that they found a large amount of ketamine in her system. So she overdosed, basically. The night of Jessica's drugging, Kelly tells Adam that she'd seen her father, Lewis, giving drugs to another girl, but doesn't tell the hospital. Bazzi ghosts Kelly, and when she goes to where he lives, she's told by the people that live there that he's moved south. Meanwhile, he's hiding a dark secret. He's on a gay dating app where he has sex with men for money. Bazzi's raising money to bring his sister to the UK with him, paying some thugs who have connections to get her in town. Bazzi meets Charlie, which is Julian's son, the whole soccer football fight situation. So Bazzi meets Charlie on the app, who promises that to give him money to bring her to the UK after they meet a few times and have a good conversation, and tells him why he's doing it. Kelly finds out that Bazzi was captured in a football photo recently, contradicting the story that he ended up moving away. She ends up finding him at Charlie's house where they're being intimate. They're basically, I think, sitting at the pool in their underwear or something, or they're inside and they kiss. And so then she texts Charlie and calls Charlie and says, hey, if you don't want everybody to know that you're gay and you're like paying for sex or whatever, then you need to get your dad to drop the case against my dad.
Not to mention that, Bazzi is in the soccer league that Charlie helps coach. So right. Like, there's like a manipulation element.
Exactly. There's a very extortive element to this whole situation.
Even though that's not their relationship, like, she's right. Implying that there could be an insinuation of that.
Exactly. So where do we go from here? There's an illegal rave that's being organized by the kids of the high school, and they do this party every year, it sounds like. But there's this illegal rave on the beach where Jessica confronts Adam about leaking her nude photos and videos. She ends up walking angrily away from him because he's too inebriated to have the conversation. He's been drinking. He took some pills. So she walks away. Kelly ends up taking a pill and having a bad high. Jessica, on her way storming out, is catcalled by Adam's brother Josh and his friends, retorting in a way that makes Josh follow her, basically saying something aggressive, and he follows her to say sorry. And when he and her are talking, she has some flashbacks of the night she was drugged, some flashbacks of her being assaulted by Josh.
When she OD'd, yeah.
When she was OD'ing. So Kelly, in her bad trip, walking away from the party to cool down, stumbles across Jessica and Josh struggling and tries to help Jessica, but ends up falling in the water because she's just kind of stumbling. Panicking about getting in trouble for what he's done and facing the consequences, Josh pushes Kelly underwater while trying to silence her after pushing Jessica away and she gets knocked out. Josh pushes Kelly underwater, trying to silence her and stopping her from saying anything. And once she stops struggling, he stops and runs away. The next day or a while later, Kelly is seen in the hospital in just fine condition. She ends up being okay. Adam comes to visit her where she confessed to him first. She had told the police she didn't know, but she told him first before she told the police that Josh is the one who attacked her. Adam confronts Josh, telling him to do the right thing and turn himself in. Adam and Josh go to the police station and Josh turns himself in. Paul, who is Kelly's father, in case anyone forgot in the matter of the 10 minutes it took to explain this whole thing, Paul is thrown in prison, as it turns out he was the aggressor in the soccer match.
Yeah, he's
Charlie actually ended up recording him but didn't provide the footage because he, in his own words, his father deserved to get his ass kicked. Which,
yeah, because his father was the verbal aggressor. Like, their dog got off the leash and ran through this football game.
Yeah.
It kind of disrupted them for, like, a minute, and then his daughter was a little mean to Charlie, but not, like, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but then he, like, loses his shit over it.
Yeah, exactly. So Paul's thrown in prison, and as a consequence of some of their actions in the show, which we can talk about later, Adam is kicked out of their home, out of the home of Lewis and his wife. Adam seemingly moves in with Kelly and Tate, which is Kelly's brother, who I didn't talk about. Because he's not important. But Adam moves in with Kelly and Tate, so he has somewhere to live, and so that they kind of can help take care of each other, because Paul is now in prison, and Kelly and Tate's mother died of cancer like the year before. That's
and,
the end of the show.
Adam had lived with them for a while.
And Adam had lived with them for a while previously, either when or before she passed. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyways, that's the really sloppy synopsis. Honestly, there are about a million things that happened in this show that I didn't even like allude to or suggest existed. Close. But I did the best I could trying to hit on like what I deem the like main story elements, which is basically the attack, obviously, and then kind of the events surrounding the people who are closest to Kelly, so on and so forth.
Yeah, because the attack is the first thing that we see in the show. Like, it's we watch her like being drowned
very briefly, but we don't even. Did you know it was Kelly?
Yeah,
you did. Okay.
Yeah,
I assumed it was either her or Jessica, but they didn't.
It has to be the two of them, and it's left
ambiguous.
It was
such a dark blur, and
Well, it's left ambiguous until the second episode where you see Jessica walking down the street and her mom finds her like walking back from the party, where you kind of know that it's Kelly. But like the whole conceit of the show is that like very much like there's a lot of British dramas that kind of operate in this vein, like The Killing. I don't know if you ever watched that, but it's like,
no,
it's much less about the crime and more about like the lead up and or the aftermath of the crime. And so we know that Kelly is going to be drowned by the end of this like series of several weeks that we're watching, and the rest of the show is preamble to that event, with it like, flashing back and then like slowly getting closer and closer to the party with like little mysteries unraveling as you go.
Yeah, stylistically it was an interesting choice. I mean, I feel like they spent like literally 30 seconds to a minute at the beginning of each episode showing us current time. And then the other 99% of the series was preamble or what happened before in the build-up.
If that didn't happen that way, the show would be much more boring.
Yeah, I think the case could be made that the argument.
I just think it would be like a kind of weird drama that then results in like a kind of out of nowhere like drowning, and then everything's fine again. Not fine, but like resolved. Like the core conflict that the show had up to that point was resolved. Versus the way that they do it, they structure it so it's like, oh, well, who is attacking her? Why is she being attacked? Right? And you're kind of following along with like the weeks that led up to this that might lead her to be attacked, because she kind of gets on a lot of people's bad sides without really even trying to. Like, Kelly is not, of all the people in the show, she's the least worst. You know,
another argument could be made for like Charlie, who's not
particularly evil. You know, he's like paying for sex, but like that, he's not doing it for bad reasons. He's just very closeted, and you know, it's the only way he knows to like experience that.
Yeah. Well, it seems clear that his father wouldn't approve, right? Like his mom and his sister know.
Yes.
And his father's the only one who doesn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, but his dad like actively mocks gay people in front of him. So like, I can understand why he wouldn't want
to. And is trying to get him like laid all the time with like these girls that they see.
I mean, literally solicits a prostitute for him.
Yeah, literally on his birthday solicits a sex worker. So, yeah, this show had so many different threads to it. They all felt connected to everything, but there were so many threads that some of them didn't really feel like they mattered in some instance. Like, I think that, well, I don't know if it didn't matter is fair to say. I think that there were so many threads and it was so messy that it kind of felt like whiplash a little bit sometimes, because we just went from so many different character and this thing to this thing to this thing to this thing. Every episode had like 7 different things that happened, and we didn't spend very much time in one scene like developing a line of plot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. And I think like, to me, it felt like the story, like the cohesive narrative existed and didn't have a lot of extra stuff, but a lot of the character actions had a lot of extra stuff.
Yeah, where I guess that's what I'm trying
to say. Jessica is like mad at Adam because she sees like he has like a lot of photos on his like Instagram or whatever with like a young kid. And so she just like jumps to the conclusion that it's his kid.
Right.
And it's his little brother from a different, like his mom having a different relationship. And she like loses her shit and says like, oh, I don't want to talk to you anymore. It's like characters kind of acting inconsistently like that. I think that's more of where I get at what you're saying, rather than the whole story not feeling like cohesive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it wasn't so much, I think I just worded it poorly. It's not so much that the story was incohesive, that like the characters kind of did things that were, I don't know,
whatever. Incongruent. I think that's fair. I mean, like, do you want to hear my much shorter synopsis
of the show? Yeah.
Teenagers dealing with normal teenage angst, drama, and like sex, drugs, rock and roll kind of lifestyle in Liverpool, while their overbearing parents meddle and ruin their lives.
Yeah.
Because like none of the actions that the kids individually take are that egregious or terrible or like world ending. Bazzy is the only one that you can really leverage that to.
Well, I mean, Josh, it's only revealed in like the last 10 minutes of the series, but Josh's actions towards Jessica,
so like, but Kelly, he's not a focal character, right? He's like, not. He is literally secondary up until the last 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah, he's literally like barely even a character,
right? And you can tell like something's off with him like every single time. He's literally like, if anyone sees Knives Out, he's the like, he's the kid that sits on his phone and, you know, is very, you know, he has the culture of toxic young male masculinity that is very pervasive in a lot of places, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And that's what causes him to do all the shitty things he does. But again, he's not like a focal character in the series. If we look at like Adam, Jessica, Kelly, Bazzy, Charlie, none of them like do anything particularly egregiously terrible. Like, even when Jessica starts taking steroids to perform in gymnastics, she's doing it because her mom is, like, essentially forcing her to, and she's having, like, these asthma-induced panic attacks because of her mom.
Yeah, because her mom is placing so much pressure. It's kind of like, so Jessica's mom, Jessica and Jessica's mom is kind of the example of like a parent who didn't get to like experience being on the top. Like they're living vicariously through their kid and
forcing
like
their children,
forcing their kid
to
exactly to like, to succeed or like commit to something at a level way beyond what the kid's passion is. And that's literally like Jessica and her mom's arc, like her mom constantly trying to do things to manipulate, Jessica or the coach of Jessica and Kelly's like gymnast group to be the like lead person in their tournament or the person that represents them in the tournament.
To the point where she blackmails her.
Literally blackmails her. Yeah.
And it's like a subtle blackmail. It's not like I have incriminating, like I don't have like explicitly incriminating things of you, but I have like enough evidence to kind of say that you push these kids too hard when she herself pushes her kid far too hard.
Oh yeah.
And it's, yeah, I mean, that was the frustrating part for me in this like whole show is that like, it's the parents that I have a problem with, not the kids.
I agree.
Because like the kids probably wouldn't have had that much drama or issue. Like all of this still could have happened and she still could have been drowned. But like all the lead up is about the parents. Like the fight between Charlie's dad and Kelly's dad is all the parents doing, right? Like they could have just walked away, but they didn't, right?
Yeah.
Jessica's mom being like this militant, you know, have to be the best gymnast ever, right? And then like browbeating Kelly because she gets on the squad because she worked really hard. It's like, like everybody's working hard. And sometimes you just, there's only one spot and Kelly got it. Right. And so it's, it really frustrated me because like, I could see this being a good teen drama. I could see it being a good adult drama, but it's trying to blend the two in a way that makes me just hate most of the characters when some of the characters are really likable. Like I didn't dislike Kelly at all. Like I think she's a good character and I think that's the point of why like her drowning is important and impactful. And even Jessica is like complicated, right? Like she doesn't really want to be that star gymnast, but she doesn't really want to tell her mom because her mom's forcing her all the time.
Yeah.
And then when she tries to bond with her mom and do things, like her mom just shuts her down and tries to get laid. And like, you know, I don't know.
I actually didn't dislike any of the kids. Like any of
the teens. My point, right?
A lot of the synopses or a lot of the descriptions of this series online talk about like toxic teenagers and like this whole like, I don't know why, but every single thing I saw online about it was like toxic teenagers in Britain. And it's like, honestly, really what it is like shitty fucked up parents like controlling their kids' lives and manipulating their kids' lives into like toxic results.
Well, and it's so interesting, right, that it's characterized that way because I think back to, like, I think it's episode 5 or 4. It's when, like, Charlie kind of starts to enter the picture because Charlie is not present in the first couple episodes, like, at all.
Yeah, right? He's not even a thing.
And then he shows up, and one of the things that happens is he walks in and his mom and his little sister, who's probably, like, 10, maybe, like, 8, something like that, they're, like, scrolling through her, like, faux Instagram. I don't know what that service is called in the thing. And he's, like, warning his mom about it. And he's like, hey, I don't know if she should have social media right now. Like, it's kind of just like, who are these people that are following her? What are their intentions? Like, and his mom's like, not listening to him, but she's a little dismissive. It's like, oh, it's just girls from school and people in her class and whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, well, you don't really, really truly know that, do you? Okay. My dog is bringing me his waffle. So you're gonna, there's the squeaks. Okay. Give it to me, buddy. Can I have it? Now he won't let it go. He thinks it's
you engaged tug of war, battle.
I was just trying to get it. I have a treat for him so he wouldn't do this. And he literally. Okay, we're putting the waffle away, and you're gonna get a nice little collagen stick. Yeah, can you sit?
Okay. He knows exactly what to do, man.
Yeah, he's like, he learned the system well. Like, I'm keeping this all in because it's funny.
Dad's recording, so if I bring a loud toy, then I know I get a treat.
Yeah, literally. and if I lock him out of the room, he just sits and whines, and you can hear him recording too. So exactly. It's a lose-lose situation for me. Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying? Charlie is warning his mom about this, right? And is like,
yeah, but
this,
the perils of social media. And how
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like
he's being a good big brother, looking out for his younger sister, right? Like he has no malice. He's genuinely trying to look out for him. And I think like all the like everybody's looking out for the people they have to. Adam mm-hmm. is a crazy good big brother to his like little 2-year-old brother, right?
Yeah, Kai.
And then you have Kelly who's constantly looking after Tate and making sure he's like getting to his things and admiring yep. his intelligence and all these things. And all the parents are shitty. Even Kelly's dad, like, sure, he had one bad moment where he punched a guy, but yeah. like he is the only one that most like beaten down parent is like the nicest guy who's really trying, who has a dead wife.
Yeah, it's he's just the most sad and fucked up. He's the most redeemable, although he did lie about starting the fight because he was adamant that he didn't start the fight. And I could only imagine being a parent of two, having lost your wife, and the desperation, like the feeling of desperation of needing to like get out of this legal thing. So of course you'd be like, no, I didn't do it. Especially yeah, if there's no known evidence that it happened and it's just he said, she said.
Yeah. So, and I think like it's interesting because the fight didn't need to happen. And the fight is also yeah. an example where everyone's talking about it and alluding to it. And even him and Tate go to like a school program to like basically see if Tate can get into this much nicer school on scholarship because he's yeah. really good at yeah. Tech stuff. And the guy sees him and like chases him out of the building and calls the police on him. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's like actively ruining not only his life, but his children's lives, like
yeah.
stripping them of opportunity. And
yeah.
it's really sad. Like, cause he, it's like one bad moment and he ruins his, maybe his whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is sad. It sucks.
And he's a single parent, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I liked all of the kids. I liked all of the main cast other than the parents. The parents all had problems. And like, honestly, when we first saw Adam and he was like shirt off being kind of like cool guy or like whatever motif you want to assign it to. I don't know what like British people would call it, but he's just like, you know, he's got like nice like edged hair and whatever. And he's just like cool. And he's like attractive and he's
and
whatever.
He's the DJ.
And he's like a DJ. So he's like the cool guy.
The free runner.
He's a free runner and whatever. So he's like, you know, cool guy, confident, whatever. And like, I was like, oh, so this guy's just like a massive douche. Very cool. Like, I'm so excited
he's gonna be
like the prospect of what this show is going to offer us as far as characters.
Of the show.
Yeah. And then, you know what? He actually ends up being like genuinely a very, very good person.
Yeah,
because he like takes care of his little brother like it's his own kid. He really
does
mom. And his mom, he does take care of his mom, and he like loves you know, he's very involved there. He like loves his younger brother and really tries to be them for him. And like
Kelly is on a, like they're very good best friends.
Like, they're basically
kind
like
of
siblings.
Like a maybe will they won't they interest, but like
yeah,
it's sincere, right? Like to your point.
Yeah. And he just seems like a really stand-up dude. He's just like, yeah, he's kind of in like the club scene because he DJs and he does drugs and stuff like that. But he's not doing anything to anyone else's like disadvantage or hurting anybody.
Yeah,
he's just
that's
like
the biggest
a kid thing. Having a good time. And he knows the limits of things. But I ended up really liking him.
The parents are. I think that's like the key
yeah.
to this whole show, right? Is like that exact point where it's like one of them is, you know, partying and doing drugs and running around, right?
Yep.
Okay, doesn't harm. Only himself is the potential fallout, right?
Yeah.
Versus his dad is giving, you know, willingly or not, cocaine to teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, his mom is preventing him from welcoming his kid brother into the home because it's not her kid, right? It's his dad's ex-wife's kid,
yeah,
right?
It's his biological mom's kid. It's like
yeah,
a half-brother.
Exactly, and it's like, why don't you just let this, like, he said he would deal with it. I really, my favorite scene maybe in the whole show mm-hmm. is Jessica's mom shows up, like, basically confronts Adam when he's, like, out playing basketball with his friends. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, you know, doing shirts and skins street ball, right?
Yep.
And she offers him 500 pounds to
yep.
quit it with Jessica, just, like, leave, ghost her, right? And
yep.
he is, like... She says, like, for a guy like you, I know 500 pounds, like, makes a big difference, right? And she's, like, implying that he is, you know, kind of street trash or,
and
you know,
poor
some...
And, yeah.
Yeah, like, he, you know, he's... And then he's like, well, you know, since I, you know... He plays up to that expectation and asks her to drive him home and then has him drop him off at this extremely beautiful, lavish home and walks in and refuses
yeah.
her money. Because, A, he doesn't give a shit about what the mom thinks, but B,
yeah.
like... It, who's it her business, right?
Yeah, like, it's kind of like a fuck you. And he also genuinely cares about her daughter. Like, he's not a bad guy.
No, he likes her. He doesn't do anything wrong to her the whole show. Only she does wrong things because her mom manipulates her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, Adam was definitely my favorite character.
I oscillate between Adam and Kelly. They're both great.
I also liked Kelly, of course, because she's a good character, too.
And every one of the kids is understandable more so than the parents. I understand why Jessica would be upset that her really good friend Kelly didn't tell her that she made the gymnastics, professional team.
Yeah.
When she was also in the contention for it. But her coach asked her not to. But I understand, right. That kind of twinge of pain, right? And I understand then in the future when Jessica has an opportunity, she gets a call from Kelly when they're running late and misses the bus. And she's like, can you just hold the bus for 5 minutes? And she doesn't tell the coach. And she's like getting rich. I can understand those actions, right? That is very standard teenage angsty drama, right?
Yeah.
No, it's sure it's harmful, but it's not like world ending. It doesn't shatter everyone's reality. Mm-hmm. It doesn't kill people. Yeah. Right. But then the parents just annoy the shit out of me.
Yeah. Well, even in that scenario where Jessica doesn't tell the coach, Kelly will be here in 5 minutes, just hold the bus. Jessica does it because she is upset that she kind of got snubbed for this position, or at least not snubbed, but Kelly didn't just tell her, hey, I got it. And she had to find out from someone else, and they're supposed to be friends. But so she said that because she was a little upset. But then also there's in the back of her head, that pressure that her mom would be, would give her, because they're really close. So she would tell her oh yeah, this thing happened, whatever, whatever. And her mom would absolutely give her shit and never let her in the end of it. And so that's another reason why she was I'm not going to say anything so that I get the spot, because I just want to make my mom happy and stop having to deal with all of the bullshit of trying to make my mom be this gym star for my mom.
It's even less implied than what you're saying, too, because the scene right before they get on the bus, her mom says, I'm sorry about the whole Kelly thing. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she shows her that Kelly's on the roster. And she's like, yeah, but she was suspended. She's just coming to watch. And she's like, no, she's not. And then that spurs her on, right? But again, if she hadn't done that, maybe she would have held the bus, right? We can't know. But it's just one of those situations where Jessica's mom is maybe the worst character in the show, because she basically abuses her daughter into participating in things. Agreed. And that's why, so at one of the last shots of the entire show, it's the second to last shot, is Jessica in the nationals unitard or whatever, right, about to do a floor set flipping, I don't know any of the gymnastics terms, so I'm sorry, you are gymnast list.
The one where they have the one lane, and then they do a bunch of jumps.
Yeah, they do a series of flips and try to land, right? And there's no you're not on a springboard or vaulting anything, right?
Yeah.
And she literally starts running and then stops, undoes her hair, and leaves the gymnasium mid sequence. And it's no, I actually don't want to do this anymore. Goodbye. Right. And she just realizes I don't want to live the life that my mom is forcing me into. And it's actually a pretty powerful scene.
I really actually liked that scene. I was like, hell yeah, do you she basically already kind of told her mom she didn't want to do it. And then she kept getting the whiplash of the will they, won't they of, is it Jessica or is it Kelly now that are leading their team? That's so crazy.
Yeah, at a certain point, you'd think the coach is just like, okay, fuck it. Pick the third option. Yeah, right.
Honestly, just pick third best so you don't have to deal with the bullshit.
The drama.
But anyways, Kelly or Jessica kind of told her mom, I don't really want to do this.
Yeah.
But she just kept getting manipulated and manipulated, but guilted into it.
I think forced. I mean, she doesn't have a choice.
Enforced into it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, just, the parents sucked in this show.
Yeah, I think that's assholes. The point of the show, though.
Yeah,
I think that's what the show is trying to say.
Yeah.
Right? It's sometimes, from a parent's perspective, sometimes the actions of your kid are not nearly as evil or don't require nearly as much intervention as you might think they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because, sure, they go to this illicit party and Kelly gets injured. Right. And, there are consequences of that. She loses her spleen.
Yeah.
And she, might have brain damage or some other thing. Right. She's off the gymnastics squad because of it, because she has to take the 6 weeks to recover or whatever. Mm-hmm. Her dad's in prison. But all these things would have been prevented if the parents hadn't interfered.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, I mean, because, I honestly, thinking back, like, there's not maybe the back and forth between Kelly and Jessica based on some of the things that they were doing and whatnot. But when you really think about it, every time that Kelly was dethroned, I'll call it, it was her mom sending a video to the coach.
Yep. Of her, like, free running after she had quit. Running.
Yeah, after she quit.
Because the coach told her to quit, and she did, and then the video surfaced, and so she was suspended.
Yeah, and then there was the blackmail at the end. What else was there? I felt like I just, like, had a couple ideas.
Well, I mean, there's the reveal at the bus, which we covered, right? Like that.
Yeah,
like,
the reveal at the bus.
Kelly to miss that week of travel and showing off and all those things. Yeah. And I mean, who's to say that Josh wouldn't have still done the shitty things that he did, whatever he did to Jessica when he drugged her with ketamine? Yeah. Who's to say that he wouldn't still have drowned her or tried to drown her, whatnot? But in the reality that we're painting, right, this alt universe where the Ferents don't interfere, none of these people are arguing, and therefore none of them are needing to storm off in the middle of this beach party that then causes the opportunity that Josh has, right? Yeah. And so it's like...
Well, yeah, Josh even, I mean, even just go back to, like, parents and motivation, like, the whole reason Josh acted out was because he saw all of his friends going to parties and having fun and, like, doing drugs and hanging out, being a, you know, good old, having a good old time. And doing his mom would not let him leave. She would make him stay home by himself while everybody, like, all of his friends and everybody he knows are out being young and doing stupid shit. And so he gets really frustrated with that, and they all give him shit for not being, like, not participating in this stuff. And so that's when he acts out, because he's like, oh, golden opportunity. This, like, girl's here, and I've been, like, watching my brother interact with all these cute girls, and I'm super jealous because, you know, people are really into my brother. But that's
even though his brother does everything right. He's like, I'll take you out to parties. I'll make sure you get home safe.
He's like, dude, I got you. Like,
you just got to give us some opportunities.
Yeah. And so, but his frustration that makes him act out is spurred by his mother, like, you know, forcing him to stay home and, like, coddling him and treating him like a baby. So again, we just come back to, like, the parents were shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the narrative of the show. I wager that that's probably, like, on one of the synopses or something, right? Like, I don't think we're reading into it. I think it's part of the narrative that the show is trying to paint.
Yeah.
I guess we've been talking about the show. I want to talk about something that we don't often talk about that really caught me with the show, or, like, really ensnared me.
Okay.
The music and the sound in this show is kind of next level good.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe that's just my own taste in music, but, like, the way it uses, like, a lot of musical cues and sound cues is, like, really, really good.
No, it was good. It was
nice. There's this great scene, just to, like, illuminate kind of the point I'm making, where Jessica's mom is trying... Jessica has, like, a coughing fit and, like, collapses in their backyard, like, training area when she is... When she's training, just, like, trying to practice. And her mom's worried about her, understandably. She can barely breathe. And so she, instead of, like, just taking her to the hospital because she is trying to manipulate the system because she's kind of evil, she calls one of the guys that she went on a date with and then, like,
who she's been ghosting and ignoring this whole time.
Yeah, because she knows he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And so he comes. He's a nice dude. He's not being a shithead. And he assesses Jessica and prescribes some oral steroids for her to take, because that is literally what she needs to help her breathing, right? Like, it's just, like, it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And when he's leaving, when he comes in, everything's very cordial and calm, right? And then when he's leaving, Jessica's mom is like, you know, I'm sorry about having left on the date so abruptly. You know, I meant to call you and I just didn't. And of course she's, like, bullshitting him because she's manipulating him. And she's like, you know, let's make a plan. And he just says, like, okay, goodbye. Like, he doesn't acknowledge it. He's clearly not going to go on a follow-up date with her.
Yeah.
And when he came in, everything was really, really quiet. And the doors didn't make any sounds. I literally rewound and watched this. Mm-hmm. And then when he leaves, the door is, like, crazy loud and jarring.
Hmm.
Because it's, like, to signify his anger and his frustration with the situation, right? He knew he was coming to assess and be a doctor, like, do that doctory thing. But the way the mom is acting informs the way he changes over the course of the scene, and then like closing and slamming the door, right? I love shit like that. That is golden. This is what shows need to do, right? Mm-hmm. And I love, like, there's a couple times when the audio, the music is playing in the background. It's just like ambient background music for the scene. And then it goes into what's called diegetic audio, where it's like a person is listening to that audio in their headphones in the scene.
Dude, that was like they did that so tastefully.
Yeah, they they do it three or four times. It's not overused, but it's done to show like, oh, there's this like really sad song because Kelly is lamenting that Mozzie has ghosted her, and she's like looking at photos. Yeah. Oh, Bazzy, excuse me, I said Mozzie. That Bazzy's like ghosted her, and like she puts on her headphones on the bus, and the audio's been playing in the background of the scene, and then she puts on her headphones, and then you hear the muffled sound of the headphones, and then you realize that it's her listening to the song in the moment because it's a sad song. It's that shit's great.
No, I just wanted to point that out. I was gonna say something after you said audio. I was gonna bring up like how they did that. It's not necessary, right? Like it's because a lot of times in a similar scene without that kind of like flair to it, we just hear music. They put, you know, it's just like regular, you
it's
know,
a sad level. Scene they so put they play their, a sad song,
their headphones on, whatever, and we just like move on. But like just those little touches, they really make, you know, a big difference.
Yeah, that's my point, right? Is like those little moments are what elevate really good shows.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, I think of some of the great shows of all time. They do stuff like that all the time. Right? And they know how to use the show don't tell method of showing, right? Like and what do we talk about more than maybe anything on this entire podcast is showing not telling.
Yeah.
And so like that's a good way to do it, right? Like you use the sound, you use the environment, because we cue in humans, not just you and I, but humans cue into those kinds of things. We hear a door slam, our mind perks up, right? What's happening? What's the jarring thing? Yep. You know, we listen to sad songs when we're sad sometimes, right? Like those things are human behaviors. And so I love to lean into those things because they're a natural language that goes beyond actual language or visuals or any of those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if anyone listens to our show for any of our advice in what makes a show good, do shit like that. Because that
definitely. Have a good soundtrack. If you're planning on writing a show, do that.
Use the music well. Use it sparingly. The show doesn't like overuse a bunch of songs. They have a couple songs that they use several times that are like theme songs of the show.
Yeah.
But they're not every scene has audio, and it's nice. It's a good drama, and that's what you need.
Yep.
I'm sorry if you're hearing my dog dying in the background. He's just chewing on his treat.
I can hear it, but it's not a big deal. It'll probably be fine.
Hopefully I can cut it out, but it might be a tough edit, y'all. Might just have to listen to my dog chew down his treat, but he's okay. I promise.
Yeah. Well, what do you think would have happened in a season two? Because I'm genuinely curious, like how does this story develop? Like we have
I love it.
I'll preposition it with the idea that like we have Josh turning himself in for the acts of what he did. And like there are some story threads that may continue to be pulled and woven, but I think like we got such a good amount of closure on the big themes. Like Kelly was attacked. We know who did it. He turned himself in. Like that was the entire idea of the show, right?
Yeah.
Other than many of the other story threads, right? Where do you see this going? Because the main idea of it has kind of like happened and resolved, right?
No, I totally agree. And knowing that, you know, this question always comes up in our conversations, I was thinking about this. I'm like, this feels like a limited series, right?
Yeah.
By that virtue of like, not everything is squarely resolved, right? Like it's not.
Yeah, there's still definitely like there's plenty of
threads.
Yeah.
But it's like resolved enough to the main points and plots that we care about, right? But, you know, I looked into it because I was really curious. I'm like, no, this show was legit canceled. Like they were planning on doing another season and it was actually canceled. It's not like it wasn't always meant to be a limited series.
Yeah.
And so thinking about that, I think that you can pivot the story away from necessarily like focusing on, it's really Kelly's story with these other secondary characteristics because Kelly's the one that's attacked.
Yeah.
And you can pivot it to maybe one of the other characters that still has influence, right? You pivot it to Adam, who now has to, you know, something happens with his mom, maybe horrific, maybe subtle, maybe she, you know, I think it's pretty clear from from our limited number of viewing of his biological mother, that she has either some substance abuse issues or some mental health issues
yep.
that are making it really, really hard to care for this young child. Yeah. And so I could see like that being the kind of core theme of something happening, not horrific to this child, but something that causes him to have to take him under his wing, right, into his care, right? More yeah. permanently than just looking after him mm-hmm. every couple of days, right?
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with like Jessica now having quit gymnastics. What is kind of her motivational driving characteristic, right? Mm-hmm. You know, what is her mom doing? All those kinds of things. How is she reacting to her daughter throwing her life away? I'm sure is what yeah. she would say, even though she's
sure
like,
of it.
You know, she's a student who could go to school like literally and learn 17. Plenty of it. You know, you yeah. hear her playing the piano and she's really adept at it, right? It's yeah. like maybe she wants to do piano instead of gymnastics. Yeah. Like that's still a very worthy endeavor, yeah. right? Like,
yeah.
So I think you have, you can do a pivot, right? Where now Kelly is looking after her brother, her dad's in jail. And you are shifting the focal incident, right? Like you can still have another incident that's like the drowning. Maybe, you know, like I said, some accident happens with one of the characters, but you don't know yeah. who it is, right? Something that's not like a party to blame, like a drowning where someone's yeah. attacking. And then you create the same kind of focal point and view it from 1,000 feet away, like from weeks away, then get closer and closer and closer.
Yeah.
I think you also have some interesting stuff with Bazzi and his sister now being here. And mm-hmm. wanting to reconnect with Kelly
yep.
because Bazzi and Kelly were like kind of a thing and they're both like lamenting kind of wanting to be together, but kind of not wanting to because Bazzi's so hell bent on getting his sister rescued.
Well, yeah. And like, not to mention that Kelly, Bazzi stopped talking to Kelly for her safety, which he did end up yes. telling her because the guys that he basically was meeting these guys in like some weird industrial area, kind of like a dock area. He would at a certain time on a certain day of the week, right? Like he would get in their car and he would give them money and they were like, you're still short, et cetera, et cetera. Cause he's like paying them to basically, smuggle his sister into the UK.
Yeah.
And they were like, well,
I think they're, you know, Syrian refugees, if I understood it correctly.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't recall that there was a specific country they mentioned.
They mentioned Syria at one point, and I
did
don't...
they? Okay, maybe yeah, I missed that.
And they talk about getting her across to Greece, because that's been like a real thing that's been happening a lot, where a lot of Syrian refugees will take boats across the Mediterranean to Greece or Italy. Yeah. And then a lot of boats, people horrifically die. It's very tragic.
Got it.
Yeah. And I think that is what he's trying to prevent her from doing, because he's mm-hmm. basically telling Charlie, like, this is a bunch, like, it's way, way, way more expensive, but it's basically like a false identity that she can just yeah. travel organically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So
again, my interpretation, you know, could be a little.
Yeah. No, I think that, I think that sounds right. I mean,
Someone could fact check us if they really.
Yeah, want. Someone could fact check if you really want to. But so, you know, these guys, these smugglers, we'll call them, mentioned like, oh, who's that girl you've been hanging out with? Because to like indicate that they've been watching him, making sure he's like making them money. And they're like, well, you know, if you can't pay your debt, she can, like, bring her next right. time. And so he was like, yeah, absolutely not. I'm not talking to this person again because I'm not going to get in danger.
To protect her. But now you have the opportunity for that relationship to regrow.
Yeah.
But also the challenges of now having to raise her younger brother, who is
yep. you know,
maybe 10.
And now probably take care of Kieran. Or is it Kieran? Kieran, yeah.
And Adam. But I mean, then you create this fun dynamic, right? This area where it's like, okay, Adam and Kai are living with Kelly. Kelly and him are like not an item, but everybody thinks that they are. And Jessica and Adam are an item. So you have this weird dynamic where they're kind of raising their own little family there.
Yeah, but they're
Jessica
not together.
Is like trying to potentially be with her partner. That's fine. But like she's very insecure about that kind of thing. And like, so I can think like that's another source of drama. Like there's plenty of opportunities for drama. And I think like this show has legs for it. I think you need to cut some of the parent storyline and make it more about the kids, because I think it's frankly more interesting and less infuriating. Yeah. Get rid of the whole, I mean, it's kind of resolved, but you get rid of the whole like Charlie's dad and Kelly's dad punching plot line.
It's not resolved because Charlie leaves home. He runs away from home.
Yeah, but like like you don't need to harp on the fight anymore.
Correct. That's true.
You can show his dad being aggrieved that his son ran away and is gay, right? Which he also finds out. But it doesn't need, again, to be like the focus of like every single scene is either him forcing Charlie to like try to get girls and be a goddess or an Adonis or whatever he calls him in like the fighting gym, or it's him like frustrated that he can't put this dude in jail for having punched him one time.
Yeah.
And I don't need that character in my story anymore.
I agree.
Luis Wright, who is Adam's biological dad, who also gets arrested for having provided cocaine to a girl that demanded it.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, there's all these opportunities where it's like, I don't need the troubled adults. I would rather have the mildly troubled youth versus the extremely troubled adults.
Yeah, I agree. I think trimming some of the parent storylines would be good. Like I could see, you know, Charlie, just to give some like some imagery or some color to like what his life looks like. Like his dad is fucking rich.
Yeah, they're crazy wealthy.
Like they live in a super, super nice place. It overlooks or is right near the beach, where it actually overlooks the beach.
Because yeah, they can like see
Charlie could see the island from where this is happening. So like they're super, super well off. They're super rich. Like they drive like a super nice Range Rover, and like, you know, as Presley stated, Charlie is in like boxing classes, he's in this, he's in that, he's like, you know, super privileged. And then he, because he has a falling out with his father over being gay, he leaves that all behind. And so I think in large part, I basically agree with what you're saying. I think we would see, or they could do something exactly like what you're saying, where they just develop those storylines. You have all the complication of like Kelly and Jessica being on the rocks a little bit, but maybe not, because Jessica's like, I didn't actually want this. And also you couldn't do it because you got hurt. But they also like are kind of there for each other, I think, and kind of mend that relationship. But then Adam is there, and like Kelly and Adam spend a lot of time together. There's all of this. But then I could see Charlie reaching out to Bazzy and being like, dude, how have you made it? Right. Because Bazzy left, we'll say he left Syria, and he made his way to the UK after all their family died except Noor. Yep. And he had been just figuring it out on his own. So I could totally see Charlie reaching out to Bazzy and be like, hey, like, can you help me? Or how can, you know,
yeah, what can Bazzy helping him my or, existence
or, yeah, like how can I
much different circumstance?
Yeah, how can I like survive? Or can you help me like figure out how to make it? And then that could have complications with Kelly and Bazzy or whoever, right?
Not to mention the fact that he's been lying to his sister. Bazzy's been lying to his sister about how he's been getting the money.
And how he's living. I think, too. Yeah.
And so you have that potential powder keg.
Yeah. So, you know, honestly, like, I kind of led, I by asking the question that I did to start off the season two conversation, I kind of led it in a way where one could assume I didn't think there was much to go off or go forward with. I actually think there's a lot that they could do.
Yeah, I think there's
storylines that they've already introduced. So and there's even new characters.
Like you introduce one of the other gymnast women, right?
Or yeah,
you
I mean, they're like in the coach's every single backstory. Scene.
Yep.
But none of them are really like in the show. So yeah, you can introduce some more of them and some of the other like background characters that are just kind of always there, but aren't really, you know, a focal point of any one scene. So there's a lot of potential in the show, or there was, and it kind of sucks that it was canceled. I'm not like writing to Channel 4 Studios and being like, what the fuck, what are you doing? But
this feels like a spoiler for your rating.
It was definitely interesting, interesting show. And yeah, I mean, I guess since we're like kind of naturally headed that way, I'll just quickly go over the scoring scale.
Tell them how we do it here, Andrew.
And then I'll let you know what I think. So it's a 5-star scale. 0 out of 5 stars is a show whose idea shouldn't have made it past literally just an idea, should have never been inked to paper. A 1 is going to be a show that deserved to see a pilot and no further. A 2 is going to be a show that deserved a season and was rightfully canceled. 3 is going to be a show that, take it or leave it, we could have seen more. There were redeeming qualities to the show. There were things that weren't great that, you know, we're not going to miss not seeing more of the show, but probably would have watched it. Kind of like if you like our conversation that we have here and some of the elements, then feel free to watch it.
Yep.
A 4 is going to be a show that deserved a few more seasons, a few more seasons to breathe and to really kind of come into its own. And a five is going to be a show that is a pinnacle of its time in television and should have continued. And we're much worse off for its cancellation as a society. So yep. With that, I think that this falls well within a three for me.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to say four.
I know.
Because a lot of our conversation and even in kind of like the what could happen in a season two situation, like there's a lot of room for this show to breathe and to develop. But I didn't feel so strongly about it that I'm like, I need more of this. And I think that perfectly lands me in that take it or leave it place. So I think a three is accurate for me.
Yeah, I'm wholeheartedly in agreement with you. I wanted to be like, man, this is almost good enough for a four.
Yeah.
And it just isn't. And it's not. Yeah. And it's not bad or like terrible.
No, and it's really not to any large, like, there's not any large problem that sticks out that's like, if they would have done this one thing differently or these five things differently, this would have been whatever. It just didn't.
Yeah, I think the other maybe, and this is maybe just a personal preference thing, and maybe people resonate with this, maybe you will even, Andrew, but like the show is six episodes and it drags. It is slow. Yeah. And I think that is like part of the dilemma that I have is like, it took me literally 6 hours to watch the show because I had to watch it with commercials because of our VPN shenanigan Channel 4 BS streaming service. But like, I'm fine. I don't mind watching commercials, but the amount of time it felt like it took was like watching like one of those like 28 episode, 45 minute show. Like, you know what I mean? Let's like going back and watching Alcatraz or like something like that, which is like twice as long and has the 45 rookie minute episode.
Feds.
Yeah, the rookie feds felt like 28 a whole episodes,
year of
right?
my life.
Yeah, but those almost feel shorter because they're like pulpier and they're easier to digest. And that's not to say like a bad
faster
thing.
Moving plots. Too,
exactly right. It's the pacing of the story and the way that they're trying to tell the story. They're trying to tell like a slow, methodic, brooding kind of story about teenage angst. Totally. Family dilemmas, those kinds of things. I understand that. And I think like that just pulls it down from the four for me personally, on top of the things that we've kind of already cited about it. I think the show's good and I think it has plenty of stuff that like people would enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like squarely in the three. I just can't give it a four, like in good conscience. And I think you're kind of similar to me.
Yep. 100%. Yep. Well, so with that, Presley, am I ready to hear what the next show is? Drum roll, please. Yes, I am.
Yeah, I just need to remember the name of it because I have already picked. Oh, yes. Okay. I had the first word right. I didn't have the second word right.
Was it the?
Yeah. So next time, we'll be back after Thanksgiving. But next show we're going to watch is one I'm really excited about, actually.
Oh, shit. Okay.
This is one that I had started and I was like, damn, this show's fucking good.
Okay.
And I'm on a hot streak, so I'm trying to keep it up. I'm kind of pulling.
Wait.
Pulling.
Pause. Yeah, Hold on. Okay. So we have unanimously between the two of us that are here decided that I am on a streak of L's.
No, this redeems your streak. I think you're out of the L's.
I was going to ask if this redeems or if I need like a four or a five to like dig myself out of
the hole.
No,
because four or fives are hard pulls. I think if you can get a three, you're doing pretty okay.
Oh, thank God. I hope.
I think like this, you're out of the slump. You're not like out of the canyon, right?
But
you're no longer drowning in the river.
Yeah,
you're
I'm not like a 15% grade like down a hill in a full... a semi full of cement
needing to find the escape ramp. No, yeah, I think this helps redeem you. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So we'll, you know, unless your next show is like another like bomb, like horrible, you know, it's like we'll reassess, but I think you've you know, you're moving your way out of that.
Okay,
we all have low
all
times.
Right.
I started pretty low in the,
recall. Yeah, it's true.
I did have a pretty long time of not finding any good shows, so.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, now that we've redeemed Andrew as he needed it, I can tell from your soul. We're going to be watching Scavenger's Reign.
Scavenger's
Reign, as in the reign of a king, not, not reign from the sky. It is about colonizers on an alien planet. It's an animated show on Netflix.
Interesting.
And it's bomb.
It's bomb? You've already watched it?
I've watched the first several episodes because I had been watching it when it was airing. I believe it still has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. And people are really aggrieved at its cancellation, including the creator. And I'm hoping it's not another Midnight Gospel.
Ooh, yeah.
You like the Midnight Gospel. I don't, but I know it's not from the first two episodes that I've seen.
Okay. Cool. Well, I look forward to watching it. We haven't done an animated series in a while.
Yeah, I mean, so I really like the art style, and it's really weird, and I think that's cool.
So if anyone's curious, well, what is this about, or what kind of like feeling or genre does this fit in? Well, let me tell you, it's adventure, drama, science fiction, horror. So there you go.
I mean, just what can't...
Let's
we're missing like only two characteristics of any show that could ever happen.
Comedy and thriller or something. Like
or romance, I guess. You know?
Romance, yeah, rom-com.
Because like, horror can and science is almost like a thriller.
Yeah.
I don't know. It does have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You're welcome. It has 8.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
That's pretty good. I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm excited.
I'm double checking that it's canceled because there were like... There were mixed articles when this was happening. I just want to confirm.
It was canceled, or unfortunately it won't be a while. Scavenger's Reign attracted more viewers by word of mouth, but it wasn't popular enough to warrant a Netflix surprise Netflix renewal.
The creator has tweeted that it's not.
So yeah, it's canceled. It's gone.
Okay. And I mean, we've always talked about, you know, this is one of those weird ones where it's like, because it's animated, potentially they could like release something on their own, like independently in the future, but
much easier to do it. Yeah. Them. Yeah.
It is interesting because I'll be curious to see when we do have a show that has been said to have been canceled. You know, we research thoroughly here at the season one studios, but sometimes we might fuck it up. So
I'm excited. It doesn't happen often that there's like surprise reboots after a few years or whatever. But
yeah,
just
usually I like hold off a week or two because usually there's like petitioners or people that are trying to get it picked up by like another studio. There have been plenty of shows that get canceled and then picked up and redone. But, you know, with Netflix especially, I've never seen it happen once. I've seen them rescue shows, but I've never seen one of their shows rescued. I think they're really, really try to hang on to their properties tooth and nail.
Yeah, Netflix. Actually, this is from Max, HBO.
Oh. Okay.
I mean,
they cancel more shit than Netflix sometimes. So.
Yeah, I think the idea behind like the Netflix renewal was that like Netflix was going to be like, we'll save it. But Netflix, as we all know at this point, if you've been listening for a certain amount of time, that
or even just a human in society,
or that you're a human in society, when Netflix kills something, it kills it fucking dead.
Yeah,
it so goes hard. Fat chance.
But anyway, Scavenger's Reign. I'm excited for it. I hope you are too, Andrew. Something a little different.
I am.
Don't do a lot of sci-fi either. So, yeah. Anything else we need to cover?
Where can they find us? Where can they engage with us?
That's a great question. We have a website, season1pod.com.
Correct.
We recently released some new merch. We have a new sticker and a new tank top design. Sticker designed by me. Tank top is just our logo, but something fun and different. I guess if you want a tank top for the winter, I should have thought about that longer. But we have hoodies and shirts, great holiday gifts for a loved one, hats, mugs, all the good jazz. So season1pod.com. Along with that, we have all of our social media at season_1_pod. That's very easy to remember. Follow us there. Share little fun links with your friends and family for the holidays. That's a gift, I suppose. We're coming up to the gifting season. Gift them a clip of our TikTok or something.
Yeah.
And finally, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. That helps us more than anything, or any of your podcatching apps. You know, if you're on Spotify, if you are on Pocket Casts, if you're on Google Podcasts, is that a thing? I made it up, maybe, but it could be real. If
probably
you're on it, leave
everybody's
us a review.
Got a podcast.
We'd appreciate
platform.
It. We read them all. It warms our hearts. That's the Christmas gift we want from our listeners. So next time, 2 weeks time, Scavenger's Reign. I'm excited for it, Andrew. I hope you're excited for it.
I am.
But until next time, my name is Presley.
My name is Andrew. I watch it so you don't have to.